I think we all are ambassadors of the new city, Jerusalem, recruiting converts to make the trip. One last time, it seems hard to believe that we started Sunday morning and tonight we're wrapping up. But one last time, would you give the Lord an offering of thanksgiving as Ambassador Larry Huggins comes?
Let's stand up together. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Jim. We thank you for the glory that is in this place tonight. We sense your presence. I believe I can hear angels singing with us tonight. They're before his throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy." God is a holy God. And in his presence is fullness of joy. The closer you get to Jesus, the easier it is to worship. You can't help but worship. You can't help but praise Him. He's altogether wonderful. He's altogether lovely. Let's lift our hands and just sing it one more time, shall we? Just make this a prayer. Make it a devotion. Your hands. I want to bless you tonight. Father, I pray that everyone here be anointed with the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge in the epinosis of Jesus, in the complete, accurate, personal revelation of Jesus. Let us have a further revelation of Jesus. Let us come to know Jesus better, not Hollywood's Jesus, not history's Jesus, not even religion's Jesus, but the real resurrected right here, right now, living Jesus. Open our eyes that we can see into the realm of God. Open our ears so that we can hear the Word of God. And open our hearts so that we can comprehend what you're showing us and what you're saying to us, so that we might be found doing your will from the heart. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation that's upon everyone right now. Just let us have peace in our minds, forget about the things that are behind, not worry about what is ahead, but just be here right now in your presence with all the windows of our soul open to you, your whispers, your nuances, the visions and revelations that you impart. Thank you for revelation knowledge. I'm going to ask you to allow me to stand in the office you've called me unto, and whatever gifts, graces, or spiritual endowments you want to release through my life tonight, I'll do my best to yield to you, that you might accomplish what you want done among these, your precious people. And for everything that's done here tonight and this week, we're going to give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we sing that chorus one more time? I love this chorus. It just does something for me. Brother Richard? Into planet Earth that have no expiration date. A lot of songs are kind of a trend, different style. I'm talking about gospel songs as well, church songs. There's a shelf life on them. But there are other songs that you can sing forever. Have you ever grown tired of singing There's Power in the Blood? If you ever grow tired of singing Amazing Grace or the Hallelujah Chorus, or I mean, I could name hundreds of them that are classic in every sense. And this little chorus for me is Never Grow Old. We need to pray for our younger generation, the millennials. They don't have a history of singing the same repertoire we sing, those of us that have been around longer. And those songs for me are a touchstone. They take me someplace. Do they take you someplace? I feel like God took us someplace in the last few minutes while we were singing. Well, you may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Brother Richard. That was superb. And choir. I love the voices here at House of the Lord. And I said it that way because it's not just the men and women in the choir, but it's you. Really and truly, if you look at it right, these musicians and singers are here to support you, and you're the choir. They're not here to sing for you. They're here to help you support your singing and your worship. I don't want people to do my worshiping for me. I want to do my own worshiping. Praise God. I don't think you can have a surrogate worshiper. I don't think it works that way. I remember a few years ago, these preachers were bragging about having paid intercessors. I don't know if I want an intercessor I have to pay. I want somebody who's going to do it from the heart, praise God, because the Holy Spirit's moved upon them. Am I old-fashioned or what? Maybe I've lived long enough to become a crotchety old man. I don't know. But I do enjoy some of the old ways of doing things. I'm open to the fresh and the new. But I don't want to discard the tried and the true. I want to share a scripture with you out of Philippians 1:23. See if I can find it. Maybe you could put that on the screen for us. Philippians 1, maybe it's 22 and 23. I'm looking up here. I should have told you that earlier. I wasn't thinking about it. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt the two, whether to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, or to remain here on earth, which is more expedient for your sake. He was torn between two decisions. He had been to heaven. He had been caught up into the third heaven. He said, I certify you that the gospel I received wasn't from man, but it was direct revelation. And he heard the unutterable words and the glories of heaven. And I believed he lived very near heaven and very aware of heaven. And he had glimpses of it. And God knows he was at death's door many times. If you talk to people who've had near-death experiences, they'll tell you that it's a glorious experience. I mean, the believers. And so Paul said, I'm going to kind of paraphrase here. He said, I've seen the glories of heaven, and I'm very attracted to it. I'd like to just, we used to sing, I'll fly away, oh glory. Praise God. He was ready to fly away. But he had to make a decision. He said, it's more expedient for your sake that I remain here. And he did until he ran his race and finished his course. And then he said, I'm ready to be offered up. So there was a time. And he taught that to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And he taught that if our earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have another house eternal in the heavens. I want to talk to you about this verse of scripture right here. In fact, did we get it on the screen? I want us to quote this together. Not that one. Philippians 1, 23, no, keep going. Yeah, 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, next scripture, Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. His choice was, I'm going to remain here longer so that I can transmit something to you. When Dr. Summerall was up in years, he wrote a book called So Long, Planet Earth. Well, I don't know if that was the title or the subtitle. It was about death and dying. And I told my wife, I said, you know, Dr. Summerall's not going to be around much longer. And she said, well, you better spend time with him. And I remember Ed Dufresne and I were in the car with Dr. Summerall. And we both tried to talk him out of going to heaven. And I said, Doc, don't write that book. And he, you know, if any of you have been around Dr. Summerall, you know he's kind of a gruff old guy. And he said, why? And I said, well, it's an epitaph and you know it. He said, well, I'm ready to go. He said, all my friends have gone anyway. Ed and I look at one another like, who are we, you know, chopped liver. And he said, no, I'm ready to go. And as Paul, he had made his decision to just let go of the bands of earth and step over into glory. I'm betwixt the two. I'm betwixt the two. I love that word. That's an old English word that we don't use very much. I love saying it. Betwixt. Everybody say betwixt. Doesn't that sound cool when it comes out of your mouth? It means between. I'm between two decisions. I'm betwixt the two. Whether to go be with Christ, which is far, far, far better, or to stay here, which is more needful for your sake. I think that's the decision we all have to make. We have to make a decision to remain on the earth until we've run our race and finished our course. One of the sweetest home goings I know of was Charles Capps. Went to heaven a couple of years ago. Not sick. Everything was good. Beautiful. He told his wife, he said, well, tomorrow I'm going to heaven. And the next day he went to heaven. I mean, just like that. And that's pretty sweet, isn't it? My grandfather died peacefully in his sleep. Everyone else in the car were screaming when they died. You start talking about heaven, people get a little, you know, a little too serious. But I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about the betwixt. I'm talking about the in-between. Paul lived in the in-between. He lived somewhere between heaven and earth in a place I call the betwixt. I'm betwixt the two. Not in heaven yet. I'm not totally on the earth yet. I'm somewhere in the heavenly places between heaven and earth. And that's where you and I, believers, live. We're in the world, but we're not part of the world system. We're pilgrims and strangers sojourning in a foreign land. Any soldier who entangles himself in the affairs of this life is not a good soldier. Praise God. Some of us get a little too caught up in everything that's going on around us. A little too caught up in the news channel. A little too caught up in politics. A little too caught up in sports. A little too caught up. And I think we ought to be heavenly minded. Do you agree with me? Praise God. We ought to think about heaven more, and not just heaven, but the heavenlies. Oftentimes when we use the word heaven, we would be better served, we'd be communicating more accurately if we said the heavenlies. The heavenlies, the realm of God, the invisible realm, the realm of angels. The realm that's all around us. Heaven is not a far, far away place. Heaven is right here. Look at this over here. In earth as it is in heaven. Praise God. I believe tonight that heaven has come down to Austin, Texas. Praise God. Right here at House of the Lord. I believe the heavens have dipped way down and we're not squarely on the earth anymore. I'd be afraid to walk outside right now. We might be way up in the air. I don't know. God could have just been lifting us up while we're worshiping God. I don't feel like I'm on the earth anymore. I know I'm not you know, in heaven, but I'm in the heavenlies. Are you following me? You're in the heavenlies. Praise God. You're somewhere between heaven and earth, and that's where we believers ought to live, living in the glory, breathing the rarefied atmosphere of heaven, the power of heaven working through us, the blessings and joy of heaven working through us on the earth. That puts us in the betwixt, in the betwixt. You know, I mentioned last night about being in Him, and I'm going to tie that in with this concept of being in between, in the betwixt. I think it'll help you tonight have a concept of being in Him. I found out that is a progressive revelation, being in Him. I've been studying this subject ever since 1973. You say, well, what happened in 1973? Well, I was a part of a Pentecostal holiness church in Arkansas, and we had a great church, a Holy Ghost church, and baptized in love, and we did a lot of singing and shouting. And most of the preaching was either about heaven or about sin. We preached a lot about sin. Preached about sin so much, it made you want to do it sometimes, you know, just everything was sin. And it was lovely. Don't get me wrong. It was lovely. I cherish my days at Fallen Water Free Pentecost Holiness Church, Fallen Water, Arkansas. Do you know where that is? Over near Raspberry Knob. Not too far from Stack Rock. Just over the ridge from No-Go. Man, you people just haven't been around very much. Praise God. If you haven't been to Fallen Water, you ain't been anywhere. Over on the Richland Creek. I still have a lot of friends there. I go see them every year. My spiritual mother, Lily Vanderpool, still prays for me. She's 95 years old. And I got friends that I tell you what, I miss some of them dearly. I'm looking forward to heaven when we're all getting together. We used to talk about there's going to be a meeting up there. But I'm not as tempting as heaven is. I feel like I have an assignment on my life, and I want to fulfill that assignment. You know what I'm saying? I asked Dr. Summerall, I said, don't you have any more books to write besides this one? Couldn't you postpone this? Don't you have anything else to share with us younger ministers? And he felt that he had run his race and finished his course. Well, you have to honor that. You have to honor a man's choice, a woman's choice. When I went to work for Kenneth Hagin in 1973 as his art director, I took care of publishing and proofreading and graphics and art and publications, advertisements, all that stuff was my forte. And I did a little tiny book for him, a little blue and white, simple book, one of those mini books called In Him. And it changed my life. I probably read everything he did. I worked on dozens of his books, and you don't have to read them through and through and proofread them, so that's great to study the word and get paid for it. What a deal. But that In Him book sent me into a higher orbit, man. I learned about the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. I learned what happened from the cross to the throne. Now, it's not all contained in that book, but that book was the cliff notes for it. And it set me on this course. I just couldn't learn enough about being in Christ. It answered all my questions. And so if you want to know what my spiritual DNA is, it's Pauline. This revelation that God transmitted unto the Apostle Paul, the author of about four-fifths of the New Testament. We wouldn't know anything about the gifts of the Spirit if it weren't for Paul. We wouldn't know about the fruit of the Spirit if it weren't for Paul. We wouldn't know about ministry gifts if it weren't for Paul. We wouldn't know about the organization of the New Testament church if it weren't for Paul. We wouldn't know much about righteousness by grace through faith if it weren't for Paul. He had to fight the Judaizers tooth and nail to keep them from dragging the church back into legalism and bondage. I mean, it was a fight, and he was fighting for your liberty and for my liberty so that we'd stand fast in this liberty. What I'm going to share with you will open up a little window, I think. And I'm going to start with a graphic, a little animation that I made. And I want you to go ahead and see if you can get it up there for me. Look up at the monitor. Can you read that? It's a little faint. The triune man. There's a triangle pointing up. Spirit, soul, and body. Here's a triangle pointing down. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And watch what happens when these two meet. We're raised up together, and the Holy Spirit came down. And look at that, Mogan David. There it is over there, the Star of David, the six-pointed star. And I think there's an animation that follows this. Can you read that all right?
Yes.
I'm gonna share it anyway. I'm going to do it on the board. I think you can see it better. I'll do the triune God in red. And let me tell you something about the Star of David. Mogan David, the Star of David. You know, that's the symbol of the Jewish state. It's on their flag. But it's really not a Jewish symbol. It wasn't even commonly used until the 17th century. And earlier than that, it was used in Hinduism, Native Americans, Chinese. Almost every culture in the world has used the hexagon and the six-pointed star as a talisman or a symbol. Freemasons use it. Represents the male and the female, light and dark, good and evil. People see symbolism in that. I'm not into symbolism. I'm not into the cabal, the Kabbalists, the Jewish Kabbalists use this as a talisman for protection and a way to cast spells. And, you know, the Hasidic Jews are into spiritualism. A lot of people venerate everything Jewish. You've got to be careful about that because some of it's pretty squirrely. Christians were using this symbol before the Jews did. I think it appeared on a tombstone in the 13th century. And then the first place it started being displayed was in Prague. And Ferdinand II commanded the Jews to come up with a symbol and a flag. And he actually dictated what it would be because that was a Christian country and they wanted a Christian symbol. That's the background on this thing. So I'm not talking about symbolism here today. I'm just talking about making a simple illustration. So I want you to get the religious things out of your mind and the symbolism and numerology and all that kind of stuff. And just follow me for a moment. I'm going to put Father over here. I need another pen. Praise the Lord. There you go. Father, I want to put the Son because he's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And he sent the Holy Spirit down here. I think I'll draw a line here and this will be Earth. Everybody see that all right? So God has come down. He sent Jesus. Jesus went back, and now he's released the Holy Spirit. So you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Triune God, right? And man is triune, spirit, soul, and body. So your body is on the earth. Your soul is on the earth. But your spirit is with God. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. The new birth is a union of God and man. It is a merge of God and man. It is a marriage of God and man. It is a blending of God and man. And this area right here, I'm going to call this the betwixt. Hallelujah. Praise God. A lot of us in religion, we focus on one thing or the other, but this area right here is what pertains to us. That part where God and man are joined together and we're filled with God and we're in Him and He's in us and we're tied up and tangled up together, this is the betwixt. In Him we live and move and have our being. We're complete in Him, not out here somewhere, praise God, here. That's where the completeness is when we have been raised up together with Christ and entered in and identified with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Jesus prayed, let them be one even as you and I are one. And that's the prayer of Jesus, that we have the same unity in the Godhead that Jesus has. Now, a lot of people, one of these days we're going to get to be with Jesus. That's their thought and that's their prayer. One of these days, I'm going to get to, experience glory. One of these days, I'm going to know everything. Well, let me tell you something. When you said yes to Jesus, two things happened. He came into you, which is wonderful, but you went into Him, and that's wonderful. Praise God. Here's the miracle of salvation, not just that you have invited God into your life, but God has invited you into His life, and we identify with Him. Our lives are hid with Christ in God right here. Praise the Lord. Now, I like this because this makes 12 facets here, and just take my word for it. There's 12, like 12 foundation stones, 12 gates, 12 apostles. 12 is a pretty good number. Praise God. I think there's probably some meaning there. I'm not too much into numbers, but this works on so many ways. And what I'm saying to you is you're complete here. You're thoroughly furnished here. You're identified here. You have access here. Where? In the betwixt. We're not denying the fact that we still have a residence on earth and a physical, correspondence with the earth. We're not denying that. We're made out of earth. In fact, we're going to come back to the earth. But we're born again of an incorruptible substance. Praise God. And we are spirit beings who have a soul and live in a body. And we need to learn how to operate in this in Him realm. Praise the Lord. And access everything. If you look at it, we have access to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Equal access. People have a hard time understanding the Trinity. And I have a very simple illustration. I may have done it here one time. I just take some candles and I light them. And the first, God is a fire. He's a consuming fire. He's the light of the world. I take the first candle and say, God the Father. And then I light the second candle from the first candle, and I say, God the Son. And I put them together, and it's one flame, two flames, one flame, two flames. You can't distinguish God the Father's flame from God the Son's flame. Then I light the third candle, Holy Spirit. And I can separate them. God is one, but God is separate too. So I can put the flames together, and people can see that those three separate flames have now become one identical flame, in substance and function and form, but they can be separated. The old oneness doctrine, Jesus only, and there's no such thing as God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost, just Jesus only. And that's a doctrine that's been around since the Second Great Awakening, and they'll argue over it. And I thought, well, isn't that something? Jesus is baptized by John on the River Jordan, and He spoke to Himself out of heaven and said, this is Me in whom I'm well pleased. And then He baptized Himself, lighted on Himself like a dove. You see, the whole Trinity at the baptism of Jesus, God the Father spoke, the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus. 1, 2, 3. These three are one. How can they be separate and be one? Well, that candle helps explain it. And then I like to take a fourth candle, and the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. And I like to put it right in the middle, and I say, you tell me where God stops. and where I begin. You tell me where my flame ends and God's flames begin. Praise God. That's how identified we are with Christ. He's not a faraway Jesus. He's a real close Jesus. God is not a faraway Jesus. He's an intimate God. And we're wrapped up and tied up and tangled up together with Him. We're seated in the heavenlies. Praise God. We walk in Him, we move in Him, we dream in Him, we think in Him, we are in Him. And I like to say this. People are always having devil problems. You know, you talk to them, there are devils everywhere. Honey, where God is, the devil ain't. I mean, that may be just too simple theology. But good men come to the light because their deeds are wrought in God. Evil men run from the light. The devil runs as if in terror. The devil is tormented by the light of God's glory. Oh, thou son of David, have you come to torment us? Let me tell you something. This is painful. This is a painful environment for the devil. This is caustic. This is searing. This is burning. Oh, have you come to torment? So if you're here, I tell you, the devil's going to be somewhere else. We have a place, a hiding place in God. We have a place we can go in God where we're safe. He is our fortress, and we need to live in Him. In where? In this betwixt that Paul is talking about, where I walk in the awareness of heaven and the powers of heaven and the glory of heaven and the miracles of heaven, but also walk on the earth like Jesus walked on the earth and manifest the glory of God. We're new creations. Jesus was the first new creation, first born from the dead. Hallelujah. And we're identified with Him. A lot of people are waiting until they die to start living. See, that's wrong. You don't wait until you die to start living. You start living right now, in the glory right now, in the awareness of God right now, in the presence of God. All of my In Him scriptures, and I told you I have over 500 of them, fit right inside of here. He's made into us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Praise God. I'm in the Redeemer. Hallelujah. You have the mind of Christ. You can do all things through Christ. I want you to stand up. I'm going to pray that God will give you a little vision. In that animation, I don't think you saw it. I put a spin on these things where these two triangles started spinning faster and faster and faster until it kind of became a blur. And that's the way it should be. It shouldn't be a hexagon. It should be a wheel inside of a wheel. I know people get where they're splitting hairs. Well, was that the operation of the Holy Spirit, or was that the manifestation of Jesus? You know, an epiphany or whatever, theophany. Was that the Father? Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. I will come to you. And there is a oneness, but there is a Trinity. And you're in the Beloved. Lift your hands. You're in the Beloved. You're just a pilgrim and a stranger, sojourning on the earth. You're a different kind of creature, a new creation. There's never been anyone like you. What God has called you to do is right for you. His word is true. Your life is new. Things look different from the inside out. They look different through the eyes of Jesus. They look different from the perspective of the heavenlies. Things look different when you're on the inside. Praise God. My brother and sister, you're on the inside. You're not on the outside looking in. You're on the inside looking out. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands again and thank God that you're surrounded. You're surrounded by the glory. You know, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. You can open your eyes. Here's where you get your needs supplied. Everybody's over here saying, oh God, supply my needs out of your glory. No. Right there is where all your needs are supplied. Lift your hands. Praise God. That's where all the blessings of heaven are, right here. That's where the power of God is, right there in the middle, in the nexus, in the center. Praise God. It's all available. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing right here in the betwixt, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. We don't come behind in any good thing. We're thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Everything you know is here. And how did you get there? We told you last night. You believe into this. Praise God. Jesus is the door. And where do you go? Well, you don't die and go to heaven. You step into the heavenlies. Praise God. You step into the realm of the new creature, of the God-man. Praise God, of the child of God, of the citizen of heaven. You step into this other dimension. People in the world are living out here somewhere. They're all out here somewhere, fighting and struggling and hoping and believing and killing and cheating and lying. And my sister and brother, you're not there anymore. I'm not worried about what I see on TV. I'm in the betwixt. Praise God. I'm not worried about what I hear. North Korea shooting off missiles. ISIS. I know all that stuff is real and in the world, but there's a place you can go where you're safe. Hallelujah. There's a place where you can go where you're safe. And no, it's not in the mountain somewhere. And no, you don't have to be a prepper in Alaska. And no, you don't have to get all your meals ready to eat and hide caches of water and guns and everything. All you have to do is step over into this. Lift your hands and thank God that you're in the betwixt, and that's where you're safe, and that's where He is. You're on the earth, but you're not of it. You haven't yet gone all the way to heaven, but you have everything heaven has for you. It's far better that I remain in this betwixt a little while longer. Pastor Jim, it's better that you remain in the betwixt a little while longer. You've got things left to do. God's not finished with you. You ain't through. Let me hear an amen, church. You need to stay in the betwixt a little longer. Even though heaven looks so nice, you need to make a decision to help save some more lives. You need to live in the betwixt, where there's healing and health and longevity, where there's freedom and power and authority. I think, Brother Joel, I think you can see this. I think a lot of the church is out here praying for these blessings and hoping for these blessings and fasting for these blessings and sacrificing for these blessings. But Jesus has already paid the price. He's done more fasting and praying than you'll ever do. He's done more sacrificing. You can't add anything to the sacrifice. All you need to do is step through the door. Hallelujah. And go someplace you haven't been before. That's why I call this the place of more. Praise God. A little further from the shore. I want to live in the betwixt. I want to live in between. I'm not ready to leave my family and friends and the people on the earth just yet. I believe they need me. Some people need me. Some people need me. As long as I'm useful, I'm very happy to stay here. I'm not in a hurry to go walk the streets of glory. Are you? You got things to do. You got an assignment on you. And here's what God promised: with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. Your heart is going to be strong and keep you going long. And you're going to live long and see good days. You're going to live to give God praise. Many blessings are going to come your way, and you're going to usher people in. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the palace of God, in the house of God. I hope I'm helping you. Let me condense this. We've got our eyes on heaven. And that's a destination. But I've got my eyes on the heavenlies, and that's an occupation. And that's attainable right here, right now. All of heaven's blessings while we live on the earth, in the earth, in the earth, in the earth, as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift your hands one more time and say, in my earth, as it is in the heavenlies. Say this, say, I'm walking in the heavenlies. I'm living in the heavenlies. I'm in God. He's in me. I'm complete. I'm free. This is where I'm supposed to be. Now give him a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I feel invincible when I, and I am, when I consider that I'm in this in between. We step out of this, we're susceptible to injury, death, poverty, sickness, confusion, marginalization. We step out of this, we're just behaving as mere unchanged mortal men. We step in here, we're supermen. Praise God. Amen. I feel invincible. Praise God. And it's because I'm in this fortress. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to take your seat for a moment. I'm not into talismans and symbols and charms, and you know, all over the world people wear little talismans. The Kabbalist, the Jewish cabal, would sell or give people little Mogan Davids to wear on a chain around their neck to protect them from evil. I don't want to wear something around my neck. I'm going to step into something a lot bigger. I'm not going to depend on some lucky charm, not even a crucifix. You know, in the movies, if Dracula come, they hold up a cross. And we get these crazy ideas that some little symbol over our door, you know, is somehow going to protect us from the evil eye. No, there's a place in Christ where you're safe from all harm and free from alarm. Do you feel like you're seated in heavenly places? Can you agree with that? I'm not going to ask you to go by feelings. In the Word, can you see it? God the Father, God the Son, are they one? God the Holy Ghost. Spirit, soul, and body. Does the Holy Ghost live in your body? Do you have the mind of Christ? Are you born again of an incorruptible seed? Then you're tied up, tangled up with Jesus and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. And it really doesn't make me any difference where one begins and one ends and the ministry of one or the other, because they're one in purpose. They're one in their nature. And I think we can discern the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Spirit and the counsel of Jesus. I think we can discern that. But Jesus said, I'm only saying what I tell my Father to say. And the Holy Spirit doesn't speak for himself, but whatever he's told, that's what he says. So we're still talking about a single purpose, aren't we? Okay, so you're home. But you got to stay in the betwixt. You're driving down the road in your car, but you got to stay in the betwixt. You're going to work. You walk in and heaven walks in with you, praise God. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. I used to tell people, well, you know, you got to live in a bubble. And you've heard me say this. I say most things over and over, like, it's closer to you than the air that envelops you. Heard me say that? But don't live in a little bubble. Live in a big bubble. Expand the place that you dwell in. Lengthen the cords and strengthen your stakes and expand your dwelling. Don't live in a little bubble. Expand it enough for your family and friends. Bring them in. Cover them. Surround them. Bless them. They may not have the revelation that you have, but they can have an impartation. Praise God. They can enjoy the benefit of your covering and your love and your wisdom and your authority. So let's expand our bubble. Praise God. How about over the city of Austin? Hallelujah. Stretch your hands out wide right now. And Father, we're just going to let it expand out of this place to include these people who are living in this area and passing through our territory. Hallelujah. They get near us, they're going to be under the blessings of heaven. Praise God. We walk into work and the blessings of heaven walk into work. We go to school and the blessings of heaven come into school. Praise the Lord. We drive down the street and the blessings of heaven move throughout this street. How about Texas? Couldn't we just spread our love from above? King of all you survey, as far as you can see, like God told Abraham, north, south, east, west, I've given you the land. Father, we want to expand this to include all of this territory. And over the United States of America, too. Let your overarching, overshadowing presence from the west to the east, the north to the south, cover this land, cover our citizens, cover our legislators, cover our courthouses, cover our schoolhouses, cover our churches. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm in betwixt the two. Whether to go or stay, I think I've got things to do, so I'm not going to go away. I'm in betwixt the two, earth or heaven above. I think I'll stay here a while and share God's love. I love getting songs from the Lord. I wish I remembered them. They just come for a moment and they're gone. I'm in betwixt the two, and so are you. We can't leave right away. We've got work to do. I'm in between right now, and I'm thinking about heaven, but I got people on earth that I want to take with me. So I'm between the two. I'm between the two. Father, I pray you give everyone here a revelation of what I'm trying to communicate. There's really no sickness in this betwixt. There's no sadness in this betwixt. There's no depression in this betwixt. There's no confusion in this betwixt. We get on the outside, there's plenty of confusion, plenty of sadness, plenty of... The answer to everything is to be in the center. That's the answer. Here's a word of prophecy for you. The enemy tries to tempt my people to step out of their place, try to remove themselves from my presence and from my grace. He can't have you unless you step away. So he tries everything. And he comes at you every day to step out of your place. So stay in your place. Stay in the heart. Stay in the center of this place in the Lord. Don't step out in anger. Don't step out in doubt. Don't step out in unbelief. I'm prophesying to you. See, the enemy, the only power he has is what you allow him to have. Brother Joel said something this morning that just made the whole week worthwhile. He said, when you believe a lie, you empower the liar. I'm gonna use that right here in conclusion. Eve gave power to the devil because she believed his lie. Adam gave power to the devil. Job gave power to the devil. Even David gave power to the devil because they believed the lies. Saul gave power to the devil. He believed the lies. The devil can't force you out of your place in God. He cannot evict you from your place in God. He can't even come into your place in God. But he'll talk to you. And he'll whisper. And he'll scheme. And if we believe his lie, then we've empowered him to move in our life. I'm telling you one last time. Don't leave your place, that place of grace. Don't move away where you see God's face. Don't step outside. Stay safe in here. And do not listen to the devil. Don't give him your ear. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. You don't plan on listening to the devil, do you? All right, let me tell you how to get healed. Just stay as close to Jesus as you can get. Let me tell you how to get blessed and prosperous. Stay as close to Jesus as you can. What have we been doing for years? Send down your blessings just now, Lord. And Lord, send your power down just now, Lord. And oh, come by Yah, Lord. And come down here, God. And all he's been saying is, why don't you just come up hither? Is that right? Let me hear an amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. We're at the conclusion of the service here. As I get older, and I'm not old yet, I'm compelled to share my best. I ask myself this, if this were my last time to minister at the House of the Lord Fellowship Church, what would I preach? You just heard it. That's kind of like the sum of everything I believe encapsulated. Encapsulated is the right word. So my, if you want to bless me, if you want to bless the pastor, then let's live in him. Brother Richard, let's minister to the Lord. Everybody, let's worship the Lord for a few minutes here before we conclude. Pastor Jim's going to come up and make the closing remarks, but let's just worship our way into him. Praise God.
I stand.
I'm on?
Yeah.
1, 2.
There you go.
5, 12, 7. Bob check. Mike always gets the credit. The ushers of the church have attended to you all week. Tell them thank you. They're wonderful. No, don't clap your hands. I said, tell them thank you.
Thank you.
Find one and go, thank you.
Thank you.
The wonderful ladies of House of Lord have prepared food each evening and one day this week for the ministers. If you are a minister of the gospel, have a ministry call on your life, we invite you to join us across the hall and partake of some of the goodies that they have prepared. And if you get a chance to try some of that smothered chicken, ministers, God anointed those chickens. Lord, I call you the blessed of the Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness, your attentiveness throughout all these years. Thank you, Brother Joel, for being here. Brother Larry, thank all of you for being here. Bob, thank you for shuffling Brother Larry back and forth. It's been a blessing this week. I'll see the ministers across the hall. The rest of you, keep on keeping on and never lose your shout. Good night.